Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 605 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. And this week I'm on location yet again at Chaffin's Barn Theater. We're going to discuss their children's show, their Christmas children's show. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth with director Sawyer Wallace. So we're going to get those conversations just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
All right, IDSers, I am on a secret location interview with the director of All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, Sawyer Wallace. How are you?
I'm doing well. So excited to be on the show.
On the show. Well, that's a long-time listener, first-time caller. So we're doing the Christmas show here at the kids' children's Christmas show here at Chaffin's Barn. And it's All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. So what about this kind of speaks to you as an artist?
Well, I think, so first off, I love Christmas. I'm a huge freak for the holidays, and I've always been just a huge fan of anything Christmas, particularly like Christmas media. Like, I love Christmas music. I listen to it all year long, and Christmas movies and television specials. So the story itself and the spirit of theater for young audiences is bright and joyful. And this being a theater for young audiences show that's also a Christmas show speaks to me because it has that sort of bright quality that's joyful and fun. And it's goofy and cheesy like most of the Christmas stories that we know are. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to name a Christmas story that's iconic that's not also cheesy and campy and goofy in its own little way. And I think this show
is the same. All right, so how does Die Hard fit into your narrative here?
Well, I love Die Hard, and I think it's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, all right.
If It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie, okay, then Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Because It's a Wonderful Life is just a story about a dude losing some money.
Right.
But it happens on Christmas.
Right.
So it's by default a Christmas movie. And Die Hard is a story.
Did you know that the original Miracle on 34th Street was released in May?
Are you serious?
It was released in May, and it was billed as a love story between the two leads, and Santa Claus never even reappeared in the promo. Instead, they showed other stars talking about how wonderful the movie was.
That's terrible.
It was terrible. It cost $680,000 to make, and it made over $3 million.
Wow. All right.
So, needless to say, when they remade it in the 90s, they made it as an actual Christmas movie.
Yeah, I didn't like the remake because it had the Matilda girl,
mm-hmm,
and then it had dude from Jurassic Park. Yes. And to see him in any other film, I'm always like, that's not quite. That's not right.
He gene-spliced Santa.
Right.
So Christmas is, you got the kind of warm sort of sap cheese,
mm-hmm,
to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you a personally, is your house like 360 Christmas? I mean, do you go nuts? Do you go nuts? His wife is sitting less than 5 feet away from us as we record this, shooting a knowing glance.
We are big holiday decorators.
Okay.
So not just for Christmas, but we also go big for like Halloween and stuff. So, our apartment is very, we have a lot of decorations, but it's very muted compared to when I grew up. And literally the house that I grew up in, there were at least 20 of those those big like Rubbermaid tubs, you know, talking 20 of those. They were all green. That were all Christmas decorations.
Wow.
When we were kids, starting when I was in middle school, mom and dad splurged because we had so many Christmas ornaments. So there was a Christmas tree in each child's room.
Wow.
And so we had one in the main living room. We had one in the den area and then one in each child's room. So that's a total of 6 Christmas trees in our house.
That's
so like
nuts.
It is very nuts.
Did you get into competitions about did you get to decorate your tree once you got older?
Yes. It's a lot of, so my grandma and my mom and stuff, they give ornaments a lot as presents. So you would decorate it with your own ornaments.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of cool because each person's tree kind of mirrored their personality and stuff, which was fun. So for a while, and I still have this tree. My tree was a black Christmas tree that had Nightmare Before Christmas lights on it. So
You're a darker child.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
So, but before we get back to the play at hand, one last question about your decorating habits. Are you an everything has its season kind of person? Do you have Halloween and then do you have Thanksgiving and then do you go Christmas or do you go a week before Halloween, we're putting Christmas stuff up?
So my wife does a good job at pumping the brakes on me because if it was up to me, I would skip Thanksgiving entirely.
That's the best holiday. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Okay.
It's got no pressure. You just got to show up, eat food, and watch football. It's the best holiday ever.
It's true, but the aesthetic of Thanksgiving is just kind of bland to me. So I'd still celebrate Thanksgiving. I just do it with Christmas decorations around.
Oh, see.
You know?
Not in my house.
Yeah.
My house, we have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving.
I dread
Christmas.
Getting the Christmas tree down from the attic or whatever.
It's not fun. I don't want to do it. I enjoy the Christmas season. I enjoy the Christmas, but I'd rather go and look at something and go, wow, that's pretty, and then be done with it. I think that stems for, I grew up in Illinois, and one year I wanted to have Christmas lights outside. And my dad said, okay, you can do it.
Oh no.
And I did it. And it was, 15 degrees out.
We've all seen Christmas Vacation. We know how that story pans out.
I don't want to do that anymore. So that cured me of doing that. But, so the script comes in and Catherine Bush kind of ties, kind of elicits a little bit. And that's kind of been your method as directing. It's kind of eliciting, the cast's sort of own Christmas traditional vibe and feel and bringing it to their characters.
Yeah.
So what sort of universal things happen for us in this world?
I think the play is, in a lot of Christmas stories, we get this homogenous Christmas message, which it's funny to me because we're hard on this generic bland Christmas message of the real spirit of Christmas is being nice, or the real Christmas is within you, or whatever, it's a very similar kind of redemptive story surrounding Christmas stories. And I don't tire of that, actually. I think that as long as the story is specific and you try to be as clear and as unique in the way in which you tell that story, I don't think the story of people overcoming selfishness to care for one another or care for people that maybe deserve it or maybe don't deserve it, I think that's a fascinating story. I think it's a really human story too. So this story is not different in that respect. You got these kids that are doing their own thing and it's about them welcoming other kids into their group and being nice to the creepy old janitor, it plays on similar tropes. And one of the things that I talked about in our very first rehearsal was we talked about Christmas specials and all those cheesy, campy you know, not even the ones that were like straight up movies, but the 45 minute, you know, Christmas special. And one of the ones that I loved a lot when I was a kid was the Recess Christmas special, which I'm a kid of the 90s. So I relate to that kind of like that world, but in that, you have these like funky, heightened, cheesy relationships between these weird kids, but it's all about coming together as a community, and it's all about finding a way to love the people that are different than you or that aren't so nice to you. And I will never tire of that story, I think, you know, and there's a reason why the movies that are very, the holiday movies that are very simple in their plots, we come back to every year. Mm-hmm. Like we watch them over and over and over again. Think about the movies that you've rewatched in your life. You know, like even the movies that I think are my favorite movies of all time, I've maybe only seen them like 5 or 6 times because you don't really do that. But Home Alone, I'm 28 years old. I've seen that movie at least 30 times. You know, like I've seen it so many times, and there's a reason for that. It's not a masterfully made movie. It did not win any Oscars.
No.
You know, but there's something about that message of like home and family and community that feels right at this time of year. Mm-hmm. And it could be because of marketing, you know. Right. Like we may have been trained to think that that's what
Pavlovian
Christmas
is about.
Christmas. Yeah. But I don't tire of it. I love that kind of stuff. So
other than working with your brother, what has been your most trying time with this play? What, as a director, as a person, man, what has been the biggest challenge for you?
Well, I think a lot of times shows that are for kids are really cranked out and like mass produced in a way that's not really like clean. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of times where I feel like there's a theater for young audiences shows are not given like attention and detail and care because it's like, oh, it's kids. The kids are going to like it anyway, you know?
Right. So it's bright and shiny.
Yeah. So it has been a challenge because for me, I don't want to approach this any differently than I would approach any other show. It has like the words matter. The narrative matters. The story matters, even though it's for kids. So that's been a challenge for me as well, to both as the director and as an actor coach and a person who's trying to find what this story is really about. That is a challenge. It's something that's challenging. And you know, working at the barn, it is one, I say this all the time, it's one of the most intimate spaces that you can ever work in or see a show in. But boy, is it challenging to stage a show sometimes, especially for a show that's very clearly written for like a proscenium role.
Right.
When the entrances and exits are working that way, you know. So yeah, that was challenging.
Cool. So we can see this. It basically runs Fridays and Saturdays now through December 22nd.
That's right. That's right.
11
a.m. is when it starts. House opens an hour before curtain. It's a fun show. It's running about 45, 50 minutes. There's no intermission. So if you've got kids or nephews or nieces or people in for the holidays, bring them by. It's a fun way to spend a mid-morning.
A mid-morning.
A mid-morning.
A mid-morning. We're like the brunch of theater.
Yeah, we're the brunch.
So can people bring stuff in? Do you know?
Can they bring lunch
like other matinees?
Yeah, it's like a normal box lunch matinee where you can you can like go grab a Subway sandwich and bring it in and eat it in the house. So
cool. Yeah. So you can find more information about this at chaffinsbarntheater.com. And of course, I have links to this on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that is it. I'd like to thank Sawyer Wallace for chatting with me about Chaffin's Barn Theater's Christmas show for children.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Taken from information we discussed about in the body of the podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @I, inexplicable, D, S. And the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we're going to go back out to Chaffin's Barn, and we're going to chat a little game show show. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.